Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Wonderful to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle, and I hope you'll be able to join us for our next Film Week live event. It's our 19th annual Film Week Academy Awards preview, but we won't be returning to downtown Los Angeles this year to the Theater at Ace Hotel. That, of course, because of the pandemic. So we're doing it virtually. We're coming to you at your house this coming Sunday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. All of our Film Week critics, 10 of them, will be there. We'll be doing all the major categories for the Oscars and even have a few minutes at the end of the regular program for audience questions of the critics. This Sunday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, get your tickets by visiting kpecc.org/in-person. I sure hope to see you out there in the audience for the 19th annual Film Week Academy Awards preview. It's been a wonderful year for films. And if you haven't seen a lot of movies this year, this is a great way for you to hear what our critics have to say about their favorites. That's this coming Sunday. Well, I have been racking my brain trying to come up with a number of African-American landmarks that should be recognized by the city of Los Angeles. This as part of a three-year plan by the Getty and the city of Los Angeles to find those sites that should be recognized in African-American history here in Los Angeles. Joining us to talk about the mission of this collaboration is Sarah Lardinoy, who's project manager for the LA African American Historic Places Project. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. We appreciate it.
Good morning, Larry. It's great to be here with you today. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk, first of all, about has this been at all a priority previously? Because I know that there certainly are some city landmarks of African-American history, but what is this intending to do that previous efforts have not done?
Sure. So at the moment, you know, we know that the city's landmark designation programs do not yet equitably encompass the diversity and richness of Los Angeles, and thus it's not an entirely accurate reflection of the city. And so, you know, we've been working with the city of LA since 2005 on a comprehensive framework to identify and manage the city's historic resources. And this partnership resulted in Survey LA, which was the city's first citywide survey of historic resources and the establishment of an inventory called Historic Places LA. But, you know, we know there's more work to do. At the moment, only slightly more than 3% of the city's 1,200 locally designated landmarks currently reflect associations with African-American history. So that's, you know, what we'll be tackling in this project is how can we more equitably reflect and protect and celebrate the history of African Americans in Los Angeles.
I'd love to hear from listeners your suggestions. What are places that you think are worthy for being landmark status in the city of Los Angeles that are linked to African American history or in which African Americans played a significant role? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at Air Talk, and you can post on the Air Talk Facebook page. Also with us from the California African American Museum and Exposition Park, history curator and project manager Susan D. Anderson. Thank you, Susan. Great to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
And please tell us about the museum's specific role in this process.
Well, I was, the Getty and the City of Los Angeles were very kind to include Cam and me in the discussions that were held last year as this initiative was being pull together. And the California African American Museum is an institution that has been documenting and interpreting African American history related to Los Angeles and California for a couple of generations now. So we're very glad to see the initiative and looking forward to partnering with the initiative in any way we can.
866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. So, Sarah, let me just throw out, first of all, of course, there are the factories, particularly automotive manufacturing here in Southern California that was a significant draw in the westward migration from Louisiana and from Texas of African Americans to Los Angeles. Is there some way of commemorating those, you know, long gone factories, but were a huge draw for people seeking jobs in coming to Los Angeles?
That's a great question. You know, first of all, I would start out by saying that we don't have any specific sites that are on the list yet of sites that we're going to designate. You know, that's part of this process, is that we're going to be going back and looking at a context statement that was prepared in 2018 that provided a framework for evaluating and identifying potential resources, and working with the communities to expand upon that and identify potential themes and additional historic resources. And certainly, you know, these factories that you mentioned could be considered. And, you know, there is the challenge of sites that are gone and looking at alternative ways of interpreting them when we no longer have the physical fabric. But, you know, there are creative ways in which to do that. And Susan, you may be able to say more specifically about these factories.
I think being in touch with community residents and people who really embody the history and know the history is going to be important, because African Americans have been migrating to Los Angeles since the Gold Rush. And there have been waves of migration throughout several periods. And that is the challenge that we're facing. I mean, the historic preservation movement is, we hope, undergoing changes so that these histories and these stories can be incorporated and preserved and interpreted so that other people can understand the stories. But we're looking at a very long arc of history, a long arc of time. And as Sarah said, there are creative ways of going about this. And LA is a place of innovation, and we'd really like to see those kind of new approaches to preserving places where there may not be a building that's still around, but where the place really resonates with important history.
Yeah, I understand it's a challenge when you don't have a site, but so important for this to be remembered in creative ways. Another one that I'm thinking of, you know, and for me, many of the cultural sites are former music venues. The Parisian Room, which was at La Brea and Washington, where the post office is now. I was so sad when they tore that down. I mean, great jazz artists performed, little tiny place at the Parisian Room, which was torn down for the post office. Marty's on the Hill, which is atop where La Brea and Stocker and Overhill joined together. It was a place where many great jazz artists perform, and a number of great live albums were recorded at Marty's as well. And I believe the buildings are still there, but it hasn't been a club like that for a long time. I'd like to hear from you, your recommendations for places to commemorate African American history in Los Angeles. 866-893-KPECC. Victoria in Mid-City Los Angeles, share with us your site you'd like to see honored or given landmark status.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, my family's home actually was something I thought deserves recognition. In 1946, my grandparents, James and Carolyn Chiflett, actually had some of their friends that were white purchase the home that they wanted in the mid-city neighborhood, which broke the housing covenant, which barred people of color from owning homes there. And so they were taken to Supreme Court, and they won. And they won the right to live in their house, which we still live in. And after that, the housing covenant was broken in that neighborhood, and it became predominantly black later on in the later 50s and 60s.
What a great story, Victoria. Has your family history been written up? I'm sure at the time of the Supreme Court decision, it's big news. But since, has there been much looking back on that landmark case?
Not that I'm aware of. My aunt and grandmother were both activists, and my grandmother worked with Martin Luther King, and my aunt worked with Malcolm X. So the family history is really rich, but I think this portion of it is very underdocumented.
Victoria, thank you. What a wonderful recounting of your family's experience when the restrictive racial covenants were widely in place in Los Angeles. That's how, of course, we have Central Avenue, where the African-American population, both residential and business district, were concentrated because there were so few areas where African-Americans could live in Los Angeles. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Susan DeAnderson of the California African American Museum and Exposition Park. You want to respond to Victoria mentioning her family home?
Yes. I hope that she'll contact me at camp because we're really interested in her family history. And you can see why this initiative is so vital. Without these narratives, there's no way for us to understand the civic history of Los Angeles. There's no way for us to really appreciate the cultural history of Los Angeles. So these stories are going to be restoring to all of us the kind of the fullness of what Los Angeles is. And it's just really thrilling. I think that her story is an example of the things that we're going to find as the initiative moves out into the community and starts hearing about these, you know, these dramatic events and these wonderful figures that have contributed to Los Angeles history.
As you'd expect, I want to tout KGFJ Radio, which was really the African-American musical voice of Los Angeles for many years when I was growing up here. It's the station that you listen to for rhythm and blues and for soul, and had great air personalities, KGFJ. And I think radio history in this service of the African-American community, particularly during times of crisis, back during the events in Watts in 1965, all the way through other traumatic experiences for the community, KGFJ was really there. That was before KJLH took on much of that community service aspect of its programming. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Laddie, in Venice, what's your recommendation for an African-American historical site for landmark status?
First Baptist Church of Venice. It was established in 1911, 45 years after slavery ended. Blacks came out. Mr. Tabor and Mr. Reese donated the land to the people of Venice, and the church is still in existence today. It just moved from one side of the street to the other, so they own the whole seven lots, and we're trying very hard to get it preserved.
That's great. Laddie, thank you so much. The First Baptist Church of Venice, which was an African-American church?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for that. 866-893-KPECC. Alan in Seal Beach says there's a great exhibit at the Bowers Museum in Santa Ana right now on a couple of places that would surely qualify. One is Montford Point, a Black Marine training center during World War II, and an area called Little Texas in Santa Ana that was predominantly African-American owned. And let me ask you, Sarah Lardinoy, about this. Is this only for the city of Los Angeles, or could a site like Little Texas in Santa Ana qualify for this?
I would say right now our partnership is with the city, Los Angeles City Planning, and so we are focused on sites within the city of Los Angeles. We may find that there are some sites in Los Angeles that may have connections to other sites outside of the city. But I would also point out that there are a lot of, you know, other organizations that are doing work to, you know, preserve and conserve these types of organizations, including the National Trust for Historic Preservation's African-American Cultural Heritage Fund. So, you know, there are other people taking on this work as well.
All right. I don't know if you know the Golden State Mutual Life Insurance Company building on West Adams, if that has been given city landmark status. But, of course, that's hugely important because during the time when African-Americans could not get home loans, Golden State Mutual Life Insurance, a Black-owned company, was able to provide those loans for people, huge part of the community. And the five-story office complex was designed by the great architect, Paul Revere Williams, who is African-American and done, you know, so much stunning work throughout Southern California. So that is something, if it doesn't already have landmark status. Sarah, do you know if it does?
Yeah, Larry, I'm so glad you brought that site up. And fortunately, that site was designated a historic cultural monument, I believe, around 2011.
Okay.
So that's great news. And I also would just take this opportunity to point out that the Getty was so pleased to jointly acquire the Paul Williams Archive with the University of Southern California.
Very good. All right. Glad.
We have some public programs around the work of Paul Revere Williams.
I was also going to bring up Maverick Flat, the terrific music club that's been a fixture in the African American community for decades on Crenshaw, right in Leimert Park. But that, I understand, already does have landmark status, appropriately enough. 866-893-KPCC. What about Solar Records, Dick Griffey's company? He takes Soul Train Records, renames it Sound of Los Angeles, Solar Records, has it in Hollywood. Many of the artists were L.A.-based African-Americans who go on to international acclaim on Dick Griffey's Solar Records. Yet another place worthy, in my mind, of landmark status for African-American history in Los Angeles. We're at 866-893-KPECC. We'll be back in 1 minute. What about newspapers for remembering, serving the African-American community? Of course, we all know the Sentinel, but also what about the California Eagle that preceded it? We're talking about landmarks in African-American history here in Los Angeles, and I welcome your recommendations for sites or even movements. James in Van Nuys asks, well, will there be markers put up at sites when the building is no longer there? That's a great question, James. But, you know, for example, in Little Tokyo, where the Azusa Street Revival, which really was the start of the charismatic movement among Christians, began early in the 20th century as a multiracial movement. African-Americans, whites, Latinos, banding together in that religious experience known as the Azusa Street experience. There is a plaque there. I can't remember if it's in the sidewalk, whatever, but, you know, the area, the buildings there where that started in Little Tokyo are long gone, but they still found a way to commemorate that very important spot in Christian and Los Angeles history. 866-893-KPCC. Sarah Lardinoy of the Getty Conservation Institute and project manager for the LA African American Historic Places Project. Are there some creative ways of marking sites with the buildings being gone, but there still being a location where something happened?
Sure. I mean, Larry, as you mentioned, you know, there are examples of where people have put plaques either on adjacent buildings or in the pavement. And there's a wonderful, you know, memorial downtown, the Biddy Mason Memorial. And that, you know, there's other strategies such as digital markers, you know, where you might be able to pull up some information on a site, maybe learn more information. Sometimes people have done virtual recreations or included historic photographs. So there's a number of ways that could be done.
All right. Joel in Hermosa Beach, what's your recommendation for a place to be given landmark status that's connected to African American history?
Good morning, Larry. I would recommend a place in Watts, about a quarter of a mile northeast of Watts Towers. It was called Studio Watts Workshop, not to be confused with Bud Schulberg's Writer's Workshop. This was a flourishing community arts center that thrived from about 1964 to 1971, and then it transitioned into a community housing project of 144 units. I can't remember where that was, but the interesting part of it was that there had to be dedicated space in the housing complex, mostly for older folks, but there had to be dedicated space for artists to have their actual art making there. Anyway, this there's a lot about Studio Watts Workshop in a wiki by that name, which, because time is short, and there's also one of the co-founders with James Woods, who I worked with at the time.
Yeah.
Was a woman named Janie Cortez, J-A-Y-N-E, and there's a nice wiki on her. She was a performance artist and jazz musician who actually was married to Ornette Coleman for some time. And UCLA Special Collections Department has a piece on Studio Watts Workshop.
All right, Joel, appreciate the call very, very much. Susan D. Anderson of the California African American Museum, history curator and project manager. Were you familiar with the Watts Studio Workshop?
I am. And there was a flourishing community of avant-garde artists in Watts long before the Watts riots. As the caller mentioned, Jane Cortez, who was a poet, who I was lucky enough to meet when I was an undergraduate student, Ornette Coleman, Charlie Mingus, Noah Purifoy, they were all working in Watts, and they were an oasis for avant-garde. These were really out-of-the-box thinkers, and their work is still influential among contemporary artists. So there, and speaking of artists, I mean, an earlier caller asked about plaques. That's one of the things that I really hope to see with this initiative, are creative ways of preserving spaces. And I think that's going to require working with artists, people who have social practices, people who know how to, sort of deal with these issues of history and community. There are all kinds of examples of some wonderful projects that are out there. There's a recently open project in the city of Santa Monica in the old Belmar neighborhood that was destroyed by redevelopment in the 10 freeway, a Black neighborhood in Santa Monica, more than 100 years old, that historian Allison Jefferson and artist April Banks together worked with the city to put together this really extraordinary art and history project to commemorate a neighborhood that's been destroyed. And they found a way to memorialize structures that don't exist anymore.
Wow, that's terrific. We're talking with the history curator and project manager of the California African American Museum in Exposition Park, Susan D. Anderson. Susan, just as an aside, because you mentioned one of my favorite artists, Nora Purifoy, can you still see his work on display in the high desert? Is that still available, do you know?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. I need to get up there and see his extraordinary work, just an incredible output in his lifetime. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Let's see, we have Yoda Writes on the page. I used to go to Shelley's Manhole on Cahuenga in the early 60s with many famous, prominent black musicians, Oscar Peterson there, although Shelley himself was white. There were many African-American musicians and customers. Yeah, Shelley's Manhole was a huge jazz club. And again, you know, jazz is such an important part of Los Angeles history because, you know, at the time when you saw a migration of tremendous numbers of African Americans to Los Angeles, jazz is also at a point where it is in large part popular music in America. And so you've got a fascinating mesh that takes place culturally at that time, and the great irony, of course, of all these tremendous African-American artists who don't live with the same freedoms as their white counterparts, but are working in mixed-race groups, making tremendous art, tremendous music during that period. I want to thank you both very much for being with us. This has been fascinating, and I'd like to check back in with you, if we could, down the road, because I know it's a three-year process, but maybe we can identify some more places, and you can share with us kind of where we stand on building this database of places to be recognized. I hope you'd be up for that. Susan D. Anderson, thank you very much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. She's the California African American Museum, and Sarah Lardinoy of the Getty Conservation Institute. She's the project manager for the LA African American Historic Places Project that's done in collaboration with the City of Los Angeles. Sarah, so good to have you with us. Look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely. We would love to take you up on your offer to come back and talk about this down the road when we're further along in the project.
Thanks. Sounds good. So many great places and people to commemorate. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, we'll take a look at where labor unions stand, a major setback for unions at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama, a vote that was quite overwhelming against unionization. But this at the same time that the House of Representatives and the Biden administration are very pro-union, trying to find ways making it easier for the private sector to be union organized. We'll talk about where things stand coming right up. It's Air Talk on KPCC. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.